Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We begin another season of celebration of the love of God in our midst. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time, we're pleased you're here with us today. Those of us who are here week in and week out, will seek out faces that we don't recognize and extend a hand of friendship to you and welcome you. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come and introduce yourself to some of us, because we are pleased that you're here. We'd love it if you would make a home here with us. One way to do that is by becoming involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of ways that you can do that in our bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up just a few. First of all, this evening we have our annual Advent Wreath Workshop and dinner from 5:30 to 7 in McWhorter Hall. It is a potluck, and so please bring a side dish, a salad, or dessert to share, enough for your family and a few others. This has become a major event in the life of this congregation as we begin our celebration of Advent. And if you haven't come, I hope you will. Our theme is Come as a Child, and believe me, there are lots of children there, but there are lots of us there with the wide-eyed expectation of children as well. This coming Wednesday, we will have our dinner at 5, as scheduled, and then at 6 in the 4-story theater, we will have the Advent Collective in our current series. Advent Collective is a series of performance pieces all related to some character or other who appears during the stories in Advent. And believe me, you've probably never heard their stories told in quite this way. So if you are free to come at 6 p.m. this coming Wednesday, 4-story theater, if you are coming to dinner, it's always helpful to have a heads up if you would call the church and make a reservation. We would appreciate it. You received a card like this probably if you're a regular attender or church member, reminding you that next Sunday, December 7th at 4:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary, our chancel choir will perform Gloria, a concert of Christmas works, old and new. Many of you have this Christmas concert on your calendar already because you've been before. It, again, is one of those landmark celebrations we have during Advent here at the church. If you haven't come, let me encourage you to show up next Sunday, 4:30, here in the sanctuary. You will be glad that you did. Our mission market will begin next Sunday and continue until the Sunday before Christmas. You'll have a chance to buy gifts in honor or in memory of someone. You can also buy some local gifts. You can read more about it in the bulletin insert, and it will be out in Reed Hall. Also, today in Reed Hall, if you would like to join in our Legacy of Light campaign and you haven't chosen a piece of stained glass as part of that, there's a table in Reed Hall. You can do that immediately following the service. We've had over 550 individuals and families choose a piece of stained glass to go into a new artwork to celebrate this time together. Speaking of the Legacy campaign, so far we have pledges and gifts of $4.4 million. We are hoping we're on our way to $4.7 million and believe we can still do that, but I feel like this is a success already. If you have not had a chance to offer your gift or your pledge, I invite you to do so. And we are a little bit ahead in next year's annual campaign, but as always, if you haven't turned in your pledge, please do so. It just helps us so much in planning. You notice anything new around here? There are wreaths all around. This season, I want you to think of each wreath you see as a lens through which to watch for the presence of Christ in this season. Where might you encounter Jesus during these weeks as we expect his coming?
Oh. Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The God who knows us better than we know ourselves is among us this day.
Praise be to God.
We light this first candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
As a community of faith, let us join our voices together in our prayer of confession. It is never easy for us to confess our sins with you, God. There are the hurts we have caused to our friends, which we would like to forget. There are those we believe are impossible to love, and so we don't try. There are people who live on the edge of our society, and we ignore their cries for help. We argue instead of listen. We take instead of give. We are more concerned with ourselves than with anyone around us. Wake us up to your coming, so that we may live in your light and love. Bring us home to your peace, so that we can be at home for others. Slow us down, so that we do not miss your presence. By God's grace, we are always remembered, and by God's grace, we are always forgiven. Amen.
Our
One of the great joys of the church is baptism of children. This morning, Leah Connors Banker and Peter Van Gordon Banker III bring their son, John Barringer Banker, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered without price. I have a few questions. Peter and Leah, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms it presents themselves to you?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of ages, nations, and races?
We do.
Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin, clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? John Barringer Banker. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. If you'll put your hands on him. John Barringer, you being born through water and the Spirit, may you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen. Let's go to the center.
Members of the household of God, I commend John Barringer to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, John Barringer, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together of the new and body of Christ, in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the prophet Jeremiah. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who are in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of King Josiah, son of Amon of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah in Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of King Zedekiah, son of Josiah of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hands and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. And if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, you're welcome to come forward. You can bring a parent, too, if you want to. When I was a little boy, I went to a little bitty church. Come on, have a seat with us. It helps me if you look at my face, because that way I can tell the story right to you, okay? I went to a little bitty church. In fact, it was so little that there were four churches and one preacher, which means he didn't get to preach every Sunday. So when he didn't, we had what we call Sunday school assembly. And during Sunday school assembly, we would sing hymns and read scripture and pray and do all the things we did in worship, except there wouldn't be any preaching. Well, there were two sisters in my little church, Miss Annabelle and Miss Alice. And they decided when I was very young that they were going to talk me into coming up and reading scripture during that time. Well, I thought, I can't do that. I'm too young. I can't do that. They didn't believe it, though. They kept asking and asking and asking until finally I got up and I read scripture, and I was scared to death, even though I knew that everybody out there loved me. And if I messed up, they wouldn't care. It would be all right. But, you know, they asked me again, and again I would read scripture. And that may be one of the reasons I get to do what I do today. Now, there are a lot of things that you're too young to do, right? For example, you're too young to drive a car, right? Yeah. You're too young to fly an airplane. Yeah. Too young for college yet. But, you know, after a while, you're going to be old enough that if you want to, you can do all of those things. But you are never too young to serve God. We're going to hear a story about a man named Jeremiah, and when God came to him and asked him to do something for God, Jeremiah said, I can't do that, I'm too young. God said, don't worry, I will be with you. I'll put the words in your mouth. And do you know what? You already do what God asks you to do, because as part of our legacy campaign, you know, you collected quarters, and you created art. Some of you sing in children's choir and lead worship that way. And you know, to prove that you're never too young, John Berenger did what God was asking him and his parents to do this morning in baptism. And we made some promises to him, just like we make promises to every child who is baptized here, that we're going to help you continue to listen to God and to do what God asks you to do. So don't you let anyone tell you you're too young to do what God asks you to do, okay? And don't you let anyone tell you that you're too young to do what God asks you to do. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for calling us to be your people, to do your work. Thank you for being with us at all times and helping us to know we are never too young to be your people and to follow in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. And thank you for sitting with me. Goodness. Here we go. Thank you all so much. John Berenger listened more closely than many of you do. Okay? Don't think I didn't notice. Let me start off by saying Happy New Year. That was kind of lame. You know, it is the new year, don't you? Now, some people count it from January 1st, and others count it from the beginning of the school year, although that's begun to shift around a lot on us. This is the beginning of the Christian year. The first Sunday of Advent begins our journey all over again to tell this story of waiting, expectantly preparing, of the birth of Jesus, of his teaching, and all the way through to the story of Holy Week and Easter. And then in between, we remember other stories that surround Jesus and help us understand who he is. So this morning, I'll just say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Much better. Thank you. Our theme for this Advent is Come as a Child. And it's sort of twofold because, of course, God came to us as a child in the person of Jesus. And that's part of the story we remember during this time. Part of the story we're waiting with expectation to hear. But it also means that when we come to God and when we come to Christ, we too are to come as a child. Because you see, sometimes we get sophisticated enough that we think we've got it figured out. We think we're in charge. We think we know what we're doing. Although I get constant reminders from my family that I don't. But if we come as a child, with that open heart to wonder, that open mind to learn, open arms to receive whatever and whomever God brings to us. That's truly an Advent expectation. Now, you know, it's interesting. When God calls prophets, it's usually a pretty sensational thing, okay? Think of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He's in the temple, and the room is filled with smoke. And these creatures, these seraphim and cherubim, who apparently were fairly frightening, are flying around in there. And one of them picks up a coal and brings that glowing coal to his lips, so he'll be a prophet. Pretty dramatic, huh? Even going back to the prototype of all prophets, Moses. He's keeping his father-in-law Jethro's sheep, minding his own business, doing what he has been asked to do, when suddenly he sees a bush burning and it won't burn up. And he continues watching and it still doesn't burn up. And he takes off his sandals and he walks near the bush and he hears a voice. And that voice calls him to go back to the country of Egypt, where he had escaped, having killed someone. Escaped with a price on his head, asked him to go back there and free his people. Of course, Moses said, I can't do that. I don't talk well enough. God doesn't accept excuses. God said, nah, I'll be with you. Don't worry. I'll tell you what to say, and I'll deliver you when the time comes, and all the people. And it was on that occasion that God gave Moses the particular name that we know God by, four Hebrew letters. We say Yahweh, but those four Hebrew letters are the name of the God of Israel. Not just any God, the God who is calling Moses, because Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? And God gives Moses what Orthodox Jewish people to this day simply call the name Hashem, because it's too holy to be pronounced. Well, now compared to these two, the call of Jeremiah is pretty quiet, isn't it? He's a young guy, we don't know how young. One day, the word of the Lord comes to him. Now, we don't know that that was dramatic. We don't know that if it was an outside voice or an inside voice or an intuition, but the word of the Lord comes to him and calls him to be a spokesperson for God, a prophet. Now, he's already in the line of priesthood. We're told that he's the son of a priest living in a community of priests. He already has a position of privilege in the community. He already has a position of some power in the community. And quite frankly, to become a prophet might mean that he has to give all that up. Because you see, prophets are not greatly appreciated by many kings. Now, court prophets are, because court prophets tell the king what they want to hear. But true prophets will often challenge the king, call the king to account. And that's what Jeremiah will have to do. So Jeremiah gives exactly the same excuse that Moses does. He said, I don't talk very well. I'm too young. He adds that part. And God says, you're never too young. I knew you before you were born. I called you before you were born. I knew what you were going to do and who you were going to be. Don't worry. I will be with you and I will put the words in your mouth. Jeremiah had no idea what he was getting into. We're told that he was called as if we date it from the story, in the year 627 BCE, before the time of Jesus, and he continued to prophesy for 40 years until 587, when the temple fell and the people who weren't slaughtered by the Babylonians were taken into exile by them. When he began his prophesying, he was prophesying to a king named Josiah, who was a reformer, who wanted to bring the people back to the worship of the God who had been revealed through that burning bush to Moses. But not all the kings he worked with were so intent to hold on to the religion of that God. And sometimes he called them to account, and sometimes he spoke truth to power, and they didn't like it. Sometimes he told them that they would be judged for the way they treated the widows and the orphans, the children, the powerless, the least among us. We were talking in Bible study this week, working with this text, saying, why would being young be an excuse? And there are at least two things we came up with. One was that he didn't have much experience, didn't have a lot of experience of life. How could he be a prophet if he hadn't lived a long while and garnered a lot of wisdom? Secondly, that his words would be discounted because he was young. Nobody would listen to him. In those days, I guess they worked under the same theory that my parents grew up under, and that was that children should be seen but not heard. And sometimes not even seen that often. You know, children are and were discounted very frequently, especially those children who don't have the same advantages that we take for granted too often, who did not spend Thanksgiving feasting, who perhaps spent it on the street or in an automobile, who are also those children whom God loves, whom we are called to be like, if we are going to recognize what God is doing in the world. I think sometimes today we discount what children do. Every now and again our children will sing in the worship service. I try to make it a point as they're all lined up out there getting ready to sing. I walk past and I'll thank them for leading worship because I want it to be clear to them that what they are doing is just as important as what I do, what any of us up here will do in the service. Sometimes we discount that by simply thinking of them as cute. Aren't they cute? Well, yeah, they are. But that's not the point. The point is they are leading us in the worship of God. From an early age, they are doing what God is calling them to do and what we are equipping them to do. And they need to be aware of that. During our recent legacy campaign, I think I mentioned earlier in the announcements, we had raised $4.4 million to this point and hope to raise a little more. The children were collecting quarters, and they wanted to collect 1,873 quarters because 1873 was the year that this church became a station church. But you know what? They surpassed that. They gathered 2,000 quarters. And you think, 2,000 quarters and $4.4 million. But you know what? It's not the amount. Every gift is important, and it is the attitude of gratitude and generosity that they're learning that will form them the rest of their lives. That's the important thing. That they will learn that they are called to be God's people. And they're never too young to do that. And we're a part of cultivating that. I want you to listen to what you just said, okay? You just said to John Berenger, and you say to every single child who's baptized here, and I say it too, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. It's a pretty high bar, pretty high standard. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others, whatever that service may be. We don't know what that service will be. We don't know what God will call him or any of us to do. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. That's our responsibility. That's a part of why we welcome children in the worship. That's a part of why we welcome children to lead worship. Even in the simplest acts of doing what God wants us to do, we are honoring that call that God has placed in our lives. It's never too young to do that. We are never too young to do that. Yeah, you're never too old either. We'll get to that in another sermon, okay? I was reminded of that by a number of people coming out of the first service, so let me just acknowledge it. You're never too old either. Not all children are called to be prophets, but some are. There's a young woman, Malala Yousafzai, from Pakistan. Her parents owned some schools, ran some schools there. She began a blog when she was 11, 12 years old that was picked up by the BBC about the education of women, of girls in her culture, supporting the education of girls in her culture. There were those within her culture for whom that was unacceptable. Those who said, that's not our tradition, it is not the way God wants it, and they set out to stop her. And so in October of 2012, they boarded a bus she was on, asked her name, and when she said that's who she was, they shot her, expecting her to die. Fortunately, she did not. The medical care she received in Pakistan and the medical care she received in Great Britain following that allowed her to survive. But at the very least, they wanted to silence this prophet. Because you see, a prophet sometimes has to say hard things, things people don't want to hear, things that don't go along with the way we've always done it. Almost 2 years to the day Malala received or shared a Nobel Prize, a Peace Prize, with another advocate for children who came from neighboring India. She was called to be a prophet. And the cost of being called to be a prophet is great, even today. Now, we're not all called to be prophets, thank God. But we are all called to something. We are all called to live out our baptisms in a way that allows us to see Christ in each child. When Jesus wanted to embody the very thing he had been describing, this kingdom of God, he put a child in the midst of his disciples and said, see, this is what I'm talking about. Unless you become like this child, you won't recognize what I'm doing, even when you're right in the midst of it. And so we're called to identify with children, even those children who are pushed to the margins, even those children whose voices are discounted by practically everybody. I want to conclude with a poem. If you don't have a devotional guide for Advent yet, let me recommend Christmas in Bethlehem by Dana Wildsmith. I mentioned this in the email I sent out this past week. It's a series of 25 poems beginning tomorrow through Christmas. Dana is a poet who lives in North Georgia. And I think the first poem in the series really captures what we're trying to say in this whole emphasis of coming as a child to Jesus. It's called Arrival. Child of transience, little Lord in a borrowed bed, I'm homeless too. I know what it's like to own no home but earth, no name but stranger. You and I are strays, child. born to scrounge our comforts where we can. But count the comforts here: a roof and food for tonight, warm, snoozing animals, a sky restless with stars. With stars, those winkers light footing across the heavens for the joy of the journey. For all the difficulties and dangers of our call to follow Jesus, there is joy in the journey. We are here to encourage and remind each other of that joy. My prayer is that we will never forget that joy or the wonder of coming to Christ as a child. We remind ourselves of God's presence with us in many, many ways, and one of those ways is through affirmations and creeds. So I invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. Let's remind ourselves of who is with us, who never leaves us alone. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who is come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right, following our worship service today. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church and a fresh baked treat for you. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card is a place for your prayer requests. We invite you to please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. You are invited to take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find on the center aisle of the pew if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew, you are invited to take a moment to note who you are worshiping with this morning and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our worship service. Today we offer our sympathy to the McGinn family. Carl Wilson McGinn died Monday, November the 24th. The memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, December the 2nd, here in the sanctuary. Visitation will follow the service in McWhirter Hall. Among his survivors are his mother, Carlene McGinn, and a brother, David McGinn. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you knew us before we took our first breath. You uttered your living word and brought forth light, love, and life. You gathered us from the dust of the earth and called us your people. You sent us into the world to proclaim your mighty and wondrous deeds. You are with us even now as we continue our call. Our words seem somehow so inadequate to express the confusion, the anger, the fear which seems to fill hearts and minds of people in all parts of your world. What comes to the surface are feelings, voiceless emotions, which struggle to find expression in ways both meaningful and genuine, sometimes in a shriek of frustration, sometimes only in a whisper of anguish. But the promise, the assuredness, the certainty is that each one of these words and feelings, dreams and frustrations, spoken and unspoken, are surely heard and felt and understood by you, O God. And so today, beyond our words, we feel and pray for the peoples of West Africa threatened by the Ebola virus, the victims of violence of every kind, the disenfranchised and disappointed, those in pain and in the throes of deep grief, those without food and those who have far too much, those who are alone and forgotten, those who are in prisons, those forged by human hands, and those of their own making. Those for whom war is an ever-present reality. Those being born and those dying this day. Lead us to share our concerns, our words of comfort, our knowledge and our actions to offer help and to strengthen the needs of this world. Empower us to follow the example of Jesus in all aspects of our lives. And now we join our voices into one prayer, praying in the words Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us give out of our gratitude for the blessings God has given each of us as we offer God's tithes and our offerings this morning.
Go forth with the eyes and heart of a child. Go forth to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. Go forth in the knowledge that the presence of God, the presence of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit will surround you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.